This is the, this is a, from a hymn from Martin, by Martin Luther called Reopen the Wells.
That's what they're saying.
Oh, it is, okay. Anyway, quote, "That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sideth." Now, a story from Genesis may help explain the difficulty the modern church has with the power of the Holy Spirit. Isaac had returned to the Valley of Gerar, an area where his father Abraham had dug wells many years before. But you've got years many before. In Genesis 26. But the Philistines, remember what the word Philistine means? It means to roll in the dust, or roll in the dirt. The Philistines had stopped them up and filled them with earth. Isaac ordered his servants to dig them out again, to uncover them and to restore them to their proper purpose. But when they uncovered one, quote, well of springing water, unquote, the Philistine herdsmen contended with them, saying the water did not belong to Isaac. The same thing happened at another place. Isaac named these wells contention and accusation to reflect what the effort had cost. And after Isaac had won these skirmishes, he was able to dig another well without interference from Philistines, and this well he called Rehoboth, or Room, quote, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." The church has neglected its wells, its access to spiritual life and power. Historically, some of these were reopened during the Reformation and at various times of great revival, through diligent digging to remove the Philistine dirt that clogged them. The metaphor is also valid for each one of us personally. We have purposely clogged our own spiritual wells by the lies of our mind. We reopen them through confession. But to do that, we must struggle with contention and accusation within. Our mind is telling us that water, this water, is not yours. The digging is not glamorous work. The battles with the Philistines are real. But once all the dirt is removed, the well can spring up again, and it has a simple thing to drink. And it is a simple thing to drink and water the flock. The filling with the Holy Spirit is a gift of grace, but we first must be able to hear that, to shema this truth. There is water down there, and it is for us. For he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, I believe there, the mystery of this cleaning out the dirt and contending with the Philistine is revealed in the first chapter, the first few verses of 1 Corinthians 12. And we started talking the last time we met, and let's see if we can continue on it. For those of you that were in Bananas tonight, or last night, some of this will be a repeat, but I'm sure you need it. I want to read the first seven verses, and then we'll see if we can. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll see if we can discern what, where the Philistines are and where the dirt is in that metaphor from the Old Testament. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led." Now the word "carried away" there doesn't just mean carried away. It means carried away to death. It's analogous to you walking down, and just for those technical ones among you, let me give you the words. love it when we have sound effects.
Got it.
Well, again, in verse 1, the brethren word is the word adelphoi, which we know means out of the same womb. It's talking first to the brethren. You got to deal with this first with the brethren. I would not have you ignorant. Agnoio, it means to not understand or to ignore or to not to know for any reason. The word Gentiles is the word ethnos. It just means anyone else except Israel, the nations of the world. And carried away is the Greek word apago, or apago. It means to lead away for the purposes of being put to death. It's being led down, walking the last mile before the hanging or the guillotine or before the electric chair. It says you were carried away by the you were carried away unto these dumb idols. Dumb is aphonos, which means unmeaning, without significance. But it's interesting. It has the idea that it's without significance, but the fact that it's without significance is hidden. They appear to be significant, but in truth they're without significance, and that's the meaning of this word for dumb. And idols is eidolon, E-I-D-A-L-O-N, and it means basically anything that you consider important. And the word we're led means to be induced or to be driven, and it's the idea there's a hook in your nose pulling you towards the dumb idol. The dumb idol is your death penalty. Above all things, my brethren, flee from idolatry. Now, how do we know that something is an idol? We can kid ourselves, we can say we're without idolatry. And now we're talking about now digging out the small dirt in the well. You understand that? That's a predicate here. It's digging out the clogs, and it may hurt to get the clogs pulled out of you. But you know that something is an idol, and that you have been carried away unto death towards that idol by how you respond if you're interrupted suddenly. If you're doing something, anything, and something interrupts you, your response to that interruption defines as to whether or not that thing became an idol or not. That's why it's so vital that we understand that the only thing that's happening in time and space from God's perspective has nothing to do with what it looks like. The only thing we're operating on the basis of is that there shall be no break in fellowship. There shall be perfect peace and love among the brethren. And everything has to stop if that doesn't exist. Otherwise, it's the evidence that you were carried away unto dumb idols. Therefore, that nothing that we do has precedence over love. Nothing. No. And it doesn't, I mean, you got to understand that this is revealed in you in the smallest details. It's revealed in you if you're cutting the grass and somebody interrupts you. It's revealed in you. That's too easy. I mean, that's a dunk. It's revealed in you when you're doing something that you think is important and you're interrupted. What's your response to it? Everybody understand that? Now, this isn't pretty. It's revealed in you when you're with your children. It's revealed in you when the least among us interrupt you. Nobody understand that perfect. I don't need to go around the room and give examples, or...
Try.
Huh?
Way to go,
Harry.
Safety to think of one.
That's almost as difficult as thinking one for Harry. You were led away into these dumb idols, carried away into these dumb idols even as you were led. Now, the predicate for spiritual gifts is the first of it, is the understanding that you were of idolatry. The second of it is, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And I expect you all to teach on this, so I hope somebody's taking notes in each of the groups.
John taught on everything you said.
Good.
You're in agreement with John. I feel real good about those.
Let's see if we are still in agreement with the next section. What does it mean to call Jesus accursed? Do it in the context of this. Remember, it's in relationship to spiritual gifts, and it's in relationship to idolatry. And it's in relationship to brethren.
You know, said when you, it's like you call Jesus at first when you tell somebody else that it is finished.
Okay, but the way it's revealed, in terms of the practical aspects of what it means to call Jesus accursed. I call Jesus accursed if I have aught against any one of you.
Yeah, because you're anathematized that person in your mind.
That's right. I call Jesus accursed if there's something that you haven't forgiven, or I haven't forgiven in any one of you. I call, and this is the biggie, I call Jesus accursed if I fear any one of you. I call Jesus accursed if my response to being interrupted is different for one than it is the other. If my response to being interrupted in a thing that I'm doing, If I'm not the rabbi, but if I respond differently to the rabbi than I do to the least of the brethren, then I am calling Jesus accursed. I am calling Jesus accursed if I respond in any way differently to any of the brethren than I do any of the other brethren. I call Jesus accursed if there isn't perfect peace between you and I, and if there isn't perfect love between you and I. And internally, I call Jesus accursed if I believe there's something left to happen in me. That I need, something needs to change in me, something needs to change in others, something needs... Now, the response to this kind of revelation cannot be by definition, well, I'm gonna get there. The response to it can only be what? Repentance. But each of these elements are the smallest hunks of dirt. Now, I also call Jesus accursed if my feelings are hurt and I go inward.
Is this for us as well as you?
That's after I've said it.
No clothes for my sin.
Remember, the thing that you got it in the context of Corinthians, it was don't eat anything sacrificed to idols, flee idolatry, meaning of the Lord's Supper, the meaning of discerning the Lord's body, and now this. Can anyone else think of ways that you call Jesus accursed? I haven't even started, Pam.
I'm sure this other thing about, you know, despising other people's gifts and members of the body, that's
tied in directly. I call Jesus accursed if I have a plan.
Yeah.
I call Jesus accursed if I think suffering is strange. I call Jesus accursed if I justify myself.
I was thinking about, like, when you, my mind is wrong, the pain is too much or something. But when you think that something that has happened to someone else, especially if you've inflicted it, is that was of God, you know, like, you know.
Remember the story? If I take Harry out and break his kneecaps and bust his head and rupture his spleen,
rub a cheese grater, I mean, that's fine.
You take one of those things on the desk and you put the bills on, mm-hmm.
And stick it. And take Bob Wire and brush his teeth. And I say, praise God, God is all and in all. Then I am.
That's gone.
He's calling Jesus accursed. If he, after that happens to him, says God is all and in all, that's saying Jesus is Lord. What?
Well, it was only an example, Gary. It wasn't like real.
It's not real. You didn't really do that.
Anybody else can think of anything when he's calling Jesus a curse?
Well, there's no doubt that I do. You know, I just listen to it, you know.
And so what's our response to it?
Jesus is Lord.
Okay, but what's our response to it? It has to be, Father, forgive me. But my point to you is every time that you can honestly say, Father, forgive me, against thee and thee only have I sinned in these subtle areas. Up till this point, we've been dealing, I mean, whether you know it or not, we've been dealing primarily with things of the surface.
This is surface?
No.
No, before this. Oh, before this.
Now it's...
You mean short.
Now it's digging... This is digging the dirt out of the well so that the well can run freely. The only way, the only tool that's available for removing the dirt from the well and for battling the Philistine is repentance. No other tool, no other weapon, no other weapon of our warfare can work.
It's not even confession. I mean, confession without repentance doesn't.
No, just leave. It just says confession without repentance says there's a clog of dirt in my well. And some of you are very good at that one.
One of the other things I was thinking was this period of waiting. It's like when you don't prophesy and you hold something, you got it, and well, I'm going to give it when it's time and all this.
It's another good one. That's another saying Jesus is accursed.
Yeah, it's kind of sitting on it.
In talking with Margaret last night, you know, it's, I found, I mean, there's a point where it's easy to draw back from somebody else's dirty well, rather than considering it's also my well. And that when you're talking about Jesus, you know, another form of Jesus accursed is to see that,
yeah,
you know, if her weakness or her ignorance in a thing is, you know, and to leave it just at that is to say Jesus is a person in her. And there was something neat happening with this last night, not to want to draw back, but I still felt that moment of wanting to separate from that place. I mean, when somebody's in darkness, you want to pull back, you know.
Oh yeah, that's.
And that's to say Jesus is a curse in that
right.
place.
That's a given, but it's not. You, one of the ways we. You got to say that it's not just saying that Jesus is accursed in a small place. It's either he is all accursed or he is not, nothing accursed. You understand that? We can live with ourselves if I can say that there's this one area of my life that Jesus is accursed in, or Jesus that where Jesus is anathema. The biggest place of all that we haven't yet covered is the place and the thing that will get you, and this is in the quiet time, the silent portion of your life that's not public. It's the, you say Jesus is accursed where you believe that God has forsaken you. Anybody know perfectly what I mean, or do we need to give examples?
I need to go back for a second. I was thinking about getting your feelings hurt and burying it. Several times today I've had the feeling that something weird, something wrong, something going on, trying to figure out what it is, and rather than just saying there's something wrong, I know what it is now. Yesterday morning at the airport, well, actually I got my feelings hurt on the way to the airport, and made me angry. I swallowed that, buried that. And in the airport, you asked me to do something, go get to make a coffee or something like that. And I was watching TV to see what was going to come on, and it was like, go do this. And then I came back, and then we were saying goodbye to the guy, and I was over there watching the TV to see what was going to come on. And it was like, come over here and say goodbye to this guy. And I was just furious. And I just swallowed it. Throw a tantrum and scream, and I just swallowed it down. And after about 15 or 20 minutes, it was gone. I thought I forgot about it, and I was just.
But do you understand it wasn't gone?
No, I mean I tried to bury it, and it seemed like it was gone. And all day yesterday, I forgot completely about it. But this morning, sometime this morning, there was like, for some reason or other, I felt weird. I started feeling weird, and that's what it is.
Well, that kind of thing is it's not just not digging it out. That kind of thing is putting more dirt in.
In the well. Yeah, burying. It's awful. I mean, that's the first time I've felt that way now in weeks. It's just awful. It's dead. It's sick.
I read something recently. It's like, it says the surest way to know if you have the heart of a servant is how you respond when somebody treats you like that.
Yeah, well, and that's how I felt. I felt, well, actually, the first time I felt like I was being treated, we had been joking about Holy Anthony's man, and I felt like that was how I was being treated. And then the second time, I felt like I was being treated like some kind of an idiot in public in front of people. It was just.
Well, if you don't treat other people the way you treat
Jesus. Oh, it's exactly. It's exactly what I do to people all the time. I mean, that's why I think you thought that.
Well, again, there's the feeling of that is fine. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that.
No, but the hiding of it, there might be something about that.
The speaking of it is what needs to happen. If you don't speak it, then you're burying, you're adding more dirt in the well.
And what's worse is if it had been somebody else, I would have said something. I didn't say it because it was you.
Of that list you read.
My never list?
Yeah. No,
that one. Dying to sell?
Yeah.
That list.
No, the never again will I confess.
Oh. Yeah.
You know.
The never list.
Never list.
The one I gave you.
That's not what I'm thinking about. Whenever you can, you know, take something.
Oh, that's dying to sell.
That's dying to sell. You forgot the name of it.
I forgot the name of it. I keep thinking about that, you know, whenever we're not in those positions.
That's calling Jesus a curse.
Are you yielding?
The other way you, the other way that you call Jesus a curse, and this one is real obvious, but it may not be, is when you want somebody else to change. So that you don't have to suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, I mean, I can go on all night on these if you want, but is there enough predicate to understand what it means to say?
I think we have a job. When you're talking about looking up to someone, you're calling Jesus a person yourself because he's judgmental above you, right?
Right.
If you look down.
If you look down, it's just opposite.
Yeah. Where's that thing where it talks about a cup of cold water in Jesus' name? You
know, Matthew 25.
Yeah. That's where the
right,
you know, that connection that really good. Gets you, because it's the everybody. It doesn't have to do with
religion. I know, but again, what I need to say to you is what our response, this has to be our response to the world.
Yeah.
But first, it has to be worked out in the brethren. Because it's too easy to do it in the world, because you can act like you're doing it. But here you can't get by with acting like you're doing it. Okay, anybody else? Everybody understand perfectly what it means to say Jesus is a curse? Can everybody say, I don't want to do that anymore?
Yeah.
Sure sounds better a minute ago. What do you say?
Well, it's like, instead of thinking when you call Jesus a curse, it'd be easier to say the opposite. When you not call Jesus.
Well, that's what we're going to study next. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Now what's your, then don't major on the minor. The minor is the result of not speaking by the Spirit of the Lord. And so if your eyes get on that, then you will start calling, you'll start saying, Jesus is accursed in you. Yeah. The major is, you're not speaking by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what the confession is.
Huh.
You understand that?
No, I get that.
Okay. On any one of these issues, you can say, oh, forgive me for thinking this, or forgive me for thinking that, or forgive me for doing this, or forgive me for doing that, and then Satan will win, because you're not repenting of the right thing. The thing that we should repent of is not speaking by the Spirit of the Lord. You understand that now? A little bit? Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
We ask forgiveness of the brethren as it affects them, but our response to God is, forgive me, Father, for not forgive me for leaving the mercy seat. Forgive me for not speaking by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah, it's the construction of the sentence that's sort of confusing. It isn't really saying what you think it's saying from the construction. What it's really saying is, if you did this,
you're not speaking by the Spirit.
It's the proof that
you're not speaking by the Spirit of God. Got that?
That's how you can tell.
Right.
Who said
it?
Is in the spirit. These things are going on inwardly.
Okay. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So what we're doing now is getting rid of the ignorance. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus anathema, or Jesus accursed. Can you see the beauty of the tie-in there now? Where before it just sounded like it was speaking of unrelated subjects in a... Okay. Can we leave, no man calleth Jesus accursed?
Yeah.
Sure.
Next,
we're ready for the next phrase. Next word.
We'll
have
the right to go back.
You reserve the right to return, to call that witness again.
Recross.
All right. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord or my Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, this one is just as hard. The word there for Lord is kurios. And kurios means, fundamentally, it means controller. In perfect control.
Which word is it?
Lord. Kurios. Now, this one gets you. This one sneaks up on you and bites you. It's no accident that Satan is called the serpent. It's silent. It's deadly. It's extremely subtle. And this is I can't think of any more subtlety than this. If I desire to be out of the condition I am in at any given moment, then I am saying that Jesus is not Lord, and I'm in effect saying that Jesus is accursed. There's only two positions, and that's the meaning here. You can't be neutral. You're either saying Jesus is Lord, or my controller, or you're saying Jesus is accursed. There is no middle ground. And that's the subtlety, because we believe, just like we believe there's me and God and Satan, or me and Jesus and somebody else, so we believe that there's Jesus is Lord, there's Jesus is accursed, and then there's some neutral ground. And the subtlety is that it will always catch you, is that there's no neutral ground.
Yeah, the point is there's only Jesus.
Right.
Now,
what you believe...
What are you judging Jesus to be?
Right. What you believe is that it goes all the way back to Genesis 3, that the serpent has affected the heel or bitten the heel or bruised the heel of the seed of woman. And so it affects the symbolism there, in one way of looking at it, is there. Therefore, you can't walk or conduct your life as you think it was going, it should be. But the mystery is that he has bruised the head of the serpent. And so, therefore, there's crushed, overcome. And if you believe, therefore, that there is any other position other than he has overcome, therefore, I need more than I have at this instant, then I am not saying, I'm saying Jesus is accursed. I'm not saying Jesus is Lord. So the real lesson tonight that I want you to understand and hear is you're either saying Jesus is accursed or Jesus is Lord. And so the idea of saying Jesus is accursed has to become so evil to you that you will only see that Jesus is Lord. And it's the deepest effect of the cross. It's where the cross goes down to the subconscious, where the deep speaks to the deep. But if I want to be in any other condition other than I'm in at this moment in time, I am saying that Jesus is accursed. I'm saying something is wrong, something is naked, something is not right. Now, those two positions are not negotiable, that you can't negotiate them. It's not, I'm saying Jesus will be Lord someday, that's saying Jesus is accursed. And you say Jesus will be Lord someday if I say someday I will get what I want. Now, this will cut your nuts off if you have them. But it causes you to walk in continuous repentance.
This is like I'm determined to preach nothing among you except Jesus Christ
and Him crucified.
And in that place, the resurrection is by God.
The resurrection is automatic. And the promise of God is that, you know, you can't even, eyes not seen or heard, I mean, nothing. You can't even conceive of what is there if you see this. If you don't see it, you're led away, you're carried away unto some dumb idol. There's no in between.
I'm having trouble because there's a lot of PMA stuff in my brain. Positive mental attitude.
It's all a lie.
And it's like...
PMS.
You may call it PMS. It's like, I don't want to confuse any of that philosophy with this reality. I feel like my brain's trying to do that.
Well, the way it confuses it is the positive mental attitude requires the passage of time.
Also, the
way it's basically bullshit. It's trying.
No, it's
to,
not. It works.
Well, it's saying something is that isn't.
Yeah, it works
so that
in the world.
You can make it what you want it.
Yeah, but so again, the way you destroy it in your mind is to see through the illusion. Anything that requires the passage of even one more second can't be true.
Yeah, I mean, I hear this is saying this is a proof text for Jesus Christ is all and in all. Mm-hmm. By Him and for Him, all things. I mean,
it's a proof text. It's a proof text to say that every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's the proof text for everything. But it's how can I say it? It's how it's lived in your gut.
And anything other than all of those statements is. Some spirit other than the Spirit of God.
Right. Now this one will get you crucified to preach this.
Yep. It's like you can't even say Jesus is Lord except for this one.
Right.
No, because then you're saying Jesus is anathema.
I'm kind of in this place. I can't say, you know, I can't fully say Jesus is Lord because this, partly because of the relationship that I have with you. You know, it's either I go into this place where I say, Jesus is accursed in me because I'm afraid, or I'll turn, I'll say Jesus is accursed in you because I'm afraid, and I can deal with it, but it does, there's no satisfaction because it doesn't continue. I can say that, you know, I see why, you know, how it works out stuff, and you know, it's meant to be, and it does all these things. I can see all those things. But the bottom line is that I will vacillate between those positions more often than not.
But my wager would be that the vacillation is that when it's on the wrong subject. And the subject is no man, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. The turning isn't not over fear or over any other issue. The turning is, Father, forgive me for not speaking by the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter what the thing is.
I can believe that.
But
you know, but it's like fear stands. It's fear of death. It's not wanting to pick up the cross in that area. You know, it becomes apparent, more apparent, not willing to suffer.
Right.
You know, the persecution of the cross. You know, being out there.
Yeah, but again, forget all that for tonight, and just understand that if you can repent from saying, from speaking, from some other spirit other than the Spirit of the Lord, doesn't matter what the fruit of it is. Then you say, Father, forgive me from speaking from some other spirit. I only desire to speak from the Holy Spirit. Then you'll find a mystery takes place. And I mean, I've had to deal with this in a million areas. And I promise you, he's faithful, that the areas that I thought I was concerned with just disappeared. And if I majored in any of those areas, then I'd still be locked back in there. I mean, all it means is I repent faster.
You know, it's the trick of the Antichrist to get us to try to get us to focus
on an issue.
Well, yeah, it's the trick of the Antichrist to read that and think that the subject of that is saying that Jesus Christ is accursed. That's not the subject.
The subject
is you're speaking by a spirit other than the Spirit of God.
Right.
Yeah, I believe it. That the focus is to speak by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, because it comes up. It comes up so often in what we've studied. And all I can see is it's long suffering of God not to
kill us.
To keep bringing me to this point where I can, there has to be a point that it's not, it's based on faith that this happens, not on fear.
Yeah,
it's like an opposite of an anti-faith or something.
Well, in this case, you're saying Jesus is accursed. And that's the thing that forces you to repent, not from saying Jesus is accursed even, but to repent from speaking from the wrong spirit or thinking from the wrong spirit.
Just kind of maybe as a side here, I'm just real excited inside about something that's been happening in our Bible study and then hearing this and this conversation. The Ann Landring concept it's been made real clear because it's a no faith position. Because when you hear of a problem, you think you've got to talk your way through to a solution. And it's like that denies the power of God. And lately we've seen that so clear in so many ways that the confession is becoming more of a joy because we know that just confession engages God. Confession with counseling in body denies God.
Right, because it fills up the emptiness that came from confession with worm-eaten, corrupted.
That whole crap. And just, this is kind of an exhortation, don't worry, only confess. God's power is engaged in,
What did you say?
Okay.
Don't worry, only
Only confess.
And
Andrea is
throwing dirt.
You were kind of confessing a weakness, it seemed like.
Yeah, you were confessing a weakness, and that confession is sufficient for the power of God.
Amen.
We don't have to think about how to give their opinion.
How to correct Larry or anything like that. Nor do you have
to. You don't have to think about it.
Right, and I was excited inside by hearing your confession because of the knowledge that God's rushes in at that confession. So I'm rejoicing on your behalf because I know that's what's already happening. And you seemed a little concerned about your position that no concerns. It's
amen.
Taken care of.
Amen.
Yeah. When we talked about last night from Ephesians where it says that whatever is made manifest is light. And it's like that's the solution to that thing. Last week we were talking about, because you got prayer, all that kind of stuff, and then you got the idea that everything in this position is sin, but it's when you bring it out, it's transformed, and that's how Christ could say those things like take this cup from me and all that kind of stuff. But by the act of bringing it out, then he's still without sin.
Man.
Because of the it's there, it's just Man. Out there. And it's the same thing with us.
That's right. Now let's read these first few verses again and see if we can see it in context now. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, now again, what's the word for it? What's the English? What is it in English construction? Who's an English teacher?
Like a because.
Or something.
What do they call this?
That's a conjunction.
Conjunction.
Yeah.
The conjunction is important in the language because it makes you to understand that the rest of verse 3 is is directly connected to spiritual gifts and to idolatry, and that's all. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Because it's connected to the idolatry is the only reason you'd say anything else.
Idolatry is that other
part. There's something that happened to me just down there. I was sitting, after I said what I did, and you began to talk again. It's like, when I was looking at you, it looked like you were almost ready to, not physically maybe, but almost ready to cry. Like in a weak place. And I thought, and there was something that happened to me, and I thought, a moment ago, I saw this same person as in control, and it was just a phenomena to me that I could see you in two different ways in so short a time, and how it created such a different response,
man,
in me from fear to sorrow, that I could have been the source of your sorrow, and I don't know if the confession or something, what happened, but it was such a dynamic thing inside of me, that just switched from protection and fear to just sorrow, because I might have made you sad, and because I felt like, having been through this thing, it's like when I say things like that, I know you've said, that it hurts you to think that people could be afraid, and so it hurt me to think that I had hurt you in that way. And it was just a wild deal inside of me.
That's neat. But it's what Gary said, that the confession brought the vacuum, mm-hmm. If we didn't fill it up with crap, then the Holy Spirit comes in and does his job.
Yeah. Spiritual gifts.
Well, there you go, man.
The more can you say?
Probably some more.
Shut up, John.
But it just, it's not something that had to take place in somebody else. Seeing something, you actually do see through different eyes when this takes place. And I don't think I've had it so close together that I would see it like that. That your eyes.
That's me. Amen. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. The Kurios, the controller, the author, the finisher, the only one, really, the only place that we're ever enemies of this is in our mind. And that's the mystery. That's why we are transformed by the renewing of our mind when we present ourselves as the sacrifice. And that's, when you present yourself in confession, you presenting yourself as a sacrifice. So everybody see this? You're never going to get it right. Is that sort of getting on you? Is that sort of making it?
The evidence is mounting.
Not only are you never going to get it right, you were never intended to get it right. And so all that we ever do is admit our need for Him by the act of being, if we see in any other place, again, let me give you a few other. I'm sure you want to hear this one, but any time that you're the subject of your sentence, you're saying Jesus is accursed. Except when you're saying it in confession. Including in your mind talk. Did you feel that? That was pretty good. Okay. I can't wait for you to tell some of your people that anytime they think of themselves, it's calling Jesus Christ accursed.
Well, we got to wait for that work out in us before we preach it.
I didn't write that one.
Write it down. Write it down, Gary.
How long is that?
Think of yourself.
Anytime you're the subject of the sin.
Except in confession.
I'm determined to write nothing down unless I'm forced to.
Does not include
whining. Yeah, whining, this sort of obviates whining. My instinct is this is probably, there's some pretty heavy stuff here, but.
This is okay.
I think we maybe need to stop here. This is going to impart.
Yeah, you got to impart this to your Bible study tomorrow night.
So.
Yes, see how that's so slimy? Yes, because it's manipulative.
I'm sorry.
Add another one.
Yeah.
Add another one.
Manipulation.
Literally, you did.
Any form of manipulation, even including teaching, manipulating the Seder leader to let him teach when a girl is coming. This kind of stuff is the reason Levites exist, because.
For example.
Bible, no.
For example,
what to do.
To assist the priest as.
That's right.
As examples of.
Well, no, but of what not to do.
Yeah.
Clyde would sit behind the podium, wheezing, snorting, and pitting on himself.
No, but they are, because this stuff has to be 24 hours a day. I mean, it has to be exhorted 24. Now, can you see a different meaning when it says exhort one another daily while it is still called today? That forsaking the assembling of yourselves is to say Jesus is accursed. That's an obvious one. I mean, this brings all of the doctrine down to the short hairs and brings it deep inside you to clean the well out so that the waters come forth.
I'll never forget that thing when you were studying one time about the woman at the well, you know?
Yeah.
The fact that Jesus didn't have anything to get the water out with.
Right.
Because once the thing is clear, you don't need any tool to get the water. The Spirit does all that stuff.
Amen.
But it's all the stuff that we quench the Spirit and block it off and everything that has to be, you know.
It makes the thing about when Paul says that a wood that you prophesy, and always thinking, you know, it's like, well, I get enough faith, I'll begin to prophesy, rather than, you know, that prophesy and then the Holy Spirit is filling up that area that's left behind that. I had to experience that same kind of thing of hope that Gary was talking about, that of this filling.
Yeah.
You know, that comes as a result of disobedience.
Well, the thing that happens then is when we get to tongues become automatic. Because without idolatry, you don't have anything to say. If I don't know if you can understand that.
Well, I mean, it says to praying in tongues in order that you may prophesy. Like, it leads to...
It leads to true prophesying. But please, this literally, this, when you study the stuff around the well at Gerar, and this is the preparation for some really neat stuff to happen. I mean, it's apprehending more of what's already here, but it's letting us see a whole new vista of what the New Jerusalem truly is. Does everybody understand this perfectly?
Now we see through a glass darkly.
Right, and we can rip some of the silver nitrate off the glass so that we don't see ourselves in the mirror anymore. There's an infinite number of things that I could teach on that ways that people say Jesus is accursed. And so there's a whole lot more that I could say tonight, but I'm just leaving it at... No, I'm not. It's not beep beep. But I want you to come up with your own ways that you say Jesus is a curse. Okay. Take it, big guy.